Father God, I thank you for this gorgeous day. I thank you that you brought all of us up here and that we're just able to be here, God. It's such a blessing. I ask that you just give each camper here health, God. I pray that they would just continue to have an amazing week and that their ears would be open to your word now, Father, and that you would use me to speak your word, Father, and help grow your kingdom. Father, I ask that that each person here would learn something and they would take it back home and they would hold that, Father, as truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm a little sick, so bear with me a little bit. If you see a cough drop fly out of my mouth, it was on accident. I'm sorry. But this, this community is called Deeper Than an Inch. And this is something that I'm really passionate about going deeper than surface level, deeper than an inch in community. Because this is something I've struggled with my entire life since I can remember. And so I just want to start off with a simple question. And if you have an answer, just shout it out real quick. Cool? So it's simple, but it's complex. What is community to you? Not what you think it is, but what is it to you? Family? They heard? Can't hear. Friends? Support?
People united.
Like it. Good. Gotta be loud.
Counselors?
Yeah.
Multi-generational.
I like it. That's a new one. I dig. I'll talk about that later. Good. Okay, so we got like a general idea of what community is. And so we're gonna work through some text and as well as my story a little bit, my testimony. Cause if I call you guys to go deeper than an inch in testimony and community, I got to go deeper than an inch myself. So we're going to work through that a little bit. I grew up in a Christian family, sort of. They knew who Jesus was, but they didn't know him. Does that make sense? Yeah. They knew like, oh, yeah, that guy down the cross from me, cool. But we kind of just went through our days like, yeah, you know, we're living life for us. So that was a really interesting way to grow up. This story starts in middle school, actually. Ooh, I forgot. I'm going to share a little bit about myself real quick. I am 21 years old. This is my third summer at Hume. And I did missions work in Oahu after high school for 2 years, traveling to China and the Philippines, doing some speaking at conferences there. And I just do a lot of weird things. Like, I live in a van. Moms, close your ears. Sorry. But now you know a little bit about me. I have a little credibility with y'all. Middle school was really hard. Who liked middle school? That's my question. There's a couple out there liked middle school. Well, me, I hated middle school. It was the worst years of my life. It was a time where my family, my mother and my father, decided that they didn't love each other anymore and that they would split up. And to a middle schooler, that's like, it's pretty life-shattering. And so that started me off onto a really interesting path. I started questioning my worth. I started questioning my identity. I didn't even know if I was really, like, if anybody cared about me. And that led to a really crazy season, the darkest season of my life, of just being alone. Not really, like, I know who Jesus was, again, but I didn't really know him. And so I was alone in that, even though I know through friends and people, like, he was always pursuing me in those moments. But then, like, I didn't want it. I was like, this sucks. Like, I hate life. And kind of just started me off on a path through life that was not really great. Started drinking at a young age, 12 years old. Not good. Started getting into things I shouldn't be getting into, and just doing things that now I see don't give any life, but for a second they gave me a comfort, but after it was just emptiness. Just being a loner, I didn't really have anybody, but through high school, real rough, real crazy, got into some trouble. I ended up coming to Hume twice. The first time I was like, yeah, Jesus is pretty cool, but, you know, he's just Jesus, I'm cool, I can do it by myself. I came in my super senior year because I'm like, oh, I had so much fun at rec. Like, I gotta go. I gotta meet those girls. You know, I gotta go have fun at Hume. Ended up being one of the most life-changing summers of my life. God, I like to say that he just, like, wound up and just socked me right in the face. He said, what are you doing? Like, come on, Mitchell, come on, get on this. And he showed me his love and his grace and just how great he is through these mountains and these trees that are just massive and glorious. He's like, wow, like, anybody try to pick up a boulder lately? Like, I can't do it. But our Lord placed these here. He placed that mountain there. And so I found that I found the Lord in nature. I was really confused also with where I was going in life. I'm like, I'm just going to be homeless. I'm kind of homeless still. But, and roam around the country with my backpack. Everybody's seen Into the Wild. I wanted to do that. I was heading over my head. But ended up finding Jesus here at Hume. And this is a really incredible community. This is a place where you get to come with your church. Maybe you're not a part of that church, but you kind of just snuck in. You get to come for a week. You get to sit in a cabin with friends and new friends and grow in the Lord. This is community right here, guys. Us right now in this spot is community. The people sitting next to you is your community. But I'm going to challenge you in a few ways. I had one buddy that I met at Hume, and he's like, hey, come to youth group with us. And this was after I was a super senior, so go to the youth group meeting, it's high school meeting, and they're like, okay, see, I was like so stoked. I'm finally a part of a community, this is gonna be sick, I love these guys. First thing, hey guys, super seniors, this is your last meeting ever with the church. I'm like, oh, like with the high school group, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I just found a community. I just found it, and now I'm not allowed to come anymore. Like, this sucks. That happens when you graduate high school. Sorry, guys. Got to move on. Some community is temporary, sadly. But some of those communities follow on with you the rest of your life. But my buddy goes around. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm lost. I don't know. Like, I just found you guys. Now I'm going to be lost again. And my buddy goes around. He's like, I'm going to Serving the Nations. Like, dude, Serving the Nations? Like, that sounds dope. Like, can I come? He's like, yeah, come. I went, so this is an organization in Oahu that I worked at for 2 years. Started off as 3 months, turned into 2 years. Thank you, Lord. It was great. But there, I lived in an apartment building that was like half the size, probably like a quarter the size of your little dorms. And there was like 10 of us smashing. Like, you could like squeeze through the little, like, between the bunk beds. It was pretty crazy. I'm like, this is against the law somehow. But I lived in this community. And each person in each of those beds, there was at least 100 of us. We're all people that wanted to know the Lord more and more and more each day and wanted to serve him. I had the privilege of running an at-risk youth program and running a Feeding the Homeless program, which was just incredible. But being a part of this community changed my life and the fact that I was able to grow. I was growing into the man I was meant to be because I was a part of this community. After 2 years, I almost forgot. We're going to go through a scripture real quick. Matthew 18:20. And if you want to flip, you can. If not, I'll just read it really loud. I lost it. Nope, not that one. Okay, found it. It's really short. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And guys, I saw it happen in real life. There was like, well, there was more than three of us. There was like 100, but it was rad. Like, the Lord was there and it was so cool. And we're going to keep going, but it's rad. That's just like, the Lord also says it's good. So it's good. It's not just me. I ended up leaving STN after 2 years, let alone, I didn't have a community when I went to STN, right? So when I came back, I still didn't have a community. I was like, well, what the heck, guys, what am I doing? And led to a really difficult part of life. That same sadness that I had when I was in high school, the same sadness that I felt in middle school, the same loneliness that I had, just kind of seemed to creep back into my life. It was just like, it was there. Like, I still knew the Lord. I was like, yeah, the Lord is good. But like, man, am I sad. Man, am I lonely. And just led back to just trying to fill my life with things that weren't honoring God again. I didn't have a community next to me that was encouraging me. Didn't have people that were like-minded next to me to work through life with me, to go through the hard moments, to go through the great moments with. So it led for like a really hard season of life. I got the incredible opportunity to come here to Hume Lake to work as a summer counseling staff. Pretty much you're a floater for like all the camp. If somebody needs a counselor, you go there. If somebody needs help in the kitchen, you go there, and you kind of just run around all over. It's a really cool job. Like, some of you will probably be SESers someday, and it's rad. Do it. But I started to understand what community was, because for training week, we're all together. It's a group of like 25 to 30 of us, and we're together for a week, and it's so cool during training. And then all of a sudden, boom, everybody's floating everywhere, and it's like, oh, dude, like, I saw you like week one, like training week. I don't know who you are anymore. It's week 9. Like, it's crazy. And I start understanding, like, man, like, community is so important. Like, when I was with them for this week, it was so great. Then I'm out here all alone. Like, we're at Hume Lake still, so it's still awesome. I'm like, there's just something missing. Like, I have Jesus, but there's, like, I don't have a group of people that I can be a part of. So that was a great summer. I met a girl that summer. Yeah, what happens at Hume Lake. Camp relationships don't work out, so it didn't end well. Let's just say that. but again, I didn't come up here. When I was at home, when I left, there was no community. And when I went back, there was none. And I was like, crap, like, what am I doing? But I had a girlfriend, so I'm like, cool. Like, hey, girlfriend, like, here's all my problems. Here's all my happiness. Here's, like, take all of this, like, because I need somebody to talk to. And then she's like, me too. Like, let me talk to you. And I'm like, but, like, I think a couple months in, we're like, whoa, like, what are we doing? I'm like, we need more friends. Like, we need more friends. It was not good, but difficult for sure. And then I came for my second summer. That relationship ended. Ooh, praise the Lord. and I was a part of a lead. It was an incredible, incredible summer. I got to be a part of a community that was together all summer and rad, but still struggled because I'm like, man, I've been a part of these communities before where I shared my heart and my life with, and I haven't seen any of those people in like 4 years. Like, man, like, these people know more about me than my own mother does. And I don't even see them. I probably won't ever see them again. They live in Australia. They live in Sweden. Like, well, that sucks. And so kind of start putting up little walls. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to share little parts of me. Like, you know, you can have this, but I'm going to keep this away because I don't really want to be connected to you because I know you're going to be gone someday. Which is something later in life. It's okay to be vulnerable, guys. Not to the girlfriend that you just met yesterday here at Hume or the guy friend, you know, but like somebody that's a true friend. To a counselor, to a Hume Lake lead, to your best friend that you've known forever, or maybe your best friend that you just met this week that you will probably have for the rest of your life. And it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to let those wall down, but in certain areas, not just like, hey, everybody, I'm struggling with this. It's not really that great. But I left Hume, and can anybody guess what happened? No community, that's right. Another really hard season. And this is a crazy season. I crashed my car. I like almost died. I started living in a van. Some people were like, ooh, that's weird. Stay away from me. And, yeah, people run away when I like pull up. It's weird. Like, hey, little sis, I'm picking you up from school. And then everybody just kind of scatters. I'm like, what? What's happening? It looks a little like a creeper van, but it's not a creeper van. I swear. But I left. And again, there was moments of doubt. There was moments, my best buddy, Doug, incredible man. We went through the same exact thing together. Our parents got divorced. Our dads were verbally abusive to us. Just really, like, our lives were like, dude, like, we're the same. We're the same. And so we connected over that. We were, like, together, and he loved Jesus. So it was so cool. I had that person. But after last summer, he sat me down, and we're hanging out. He's like, Mitch, like, I don't believe that Jesus rose again. I don't believe he died for me. Like, I don't believe it anymore. And that, like, it's probably one of the most painful moments of my life. Like, this friend that had been through me through my entire life was now, like, he didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And that was so hard because I still loved him. I still love him to this day. Like, I love this guy because he's my buddy. But I quickly realized that we're meant to live in a community that's centered around Jesus. I started hanging out with my buddy, and he started, like, started doing drugs, started drinking way too much and just getting out of hand. And I just slowly realized, like, man, like, I love him. I want to see him succeed. Like, I want to show him who Jesus is. But I'm not being filled here. I'm being emptied as quick as God is refilling me. And it was hard. And I know, like, all of us have those friends. All of us have those friends that, like, you just love. But they just are sucking the life out of you. It's so hard to love Jesus when you're with them because everything about them just doesn't love Jesus. And that's a great place, like, to share. I want you guys to share your Jesus with friends, because it's so important to do that. But also, you can't have that as your center of community. You can't have that. You're just gonna slowly swivel up and just be like everybody else. But there's good parts of the story too. We're gonna go to Acts 2:44-47. If I can find it, I'm slow at this. I'll read it really loud. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Guys, so crucial. So crucial. Like, these people are living, like, all the time with Jesus. There wasn't a moment where, like, oh, no, like, cool, like, let's go to the bar, let's go hang out, or let's go to a high school party. It's, like, constantly living to honor Jesus, breaking bread together, having community. They're having dinner together. They're going to the chapel to pray. They're going to church. They're going to church with each other and just, like, encouraging each other. And that is where you receive life. That is what I want for my community. That is, like, the verse I read. I'm like, I want that. I want it. And so I found it. I started going to a church called Arbor Row down in Long Beach. And my buddy's like, come. We're doing a cool young adults group. So, like, high school student kids. Or not high school. College students. And we all get together once a week. And we just have an incredible time together. And it doesn't just end. We don't just, like, go to the meeting and then it ends. And then we're like, okay, everybody go home, go to sleep. But it continues. We continue. We go to Denny's. We go do all that fun stuff. We go rock climbing. We just go, you know, we get our pancakes. And it's fun. But the coolest thing is Jesus just doesn't end at that door when we all walk out of the chapel. He continues through the dinner. He continues through the night. As we're driving each other home, like, hey, I need to drop off. Cool. Like, I'll get you there. It's like, cool. Like, God bless. You know, God bless. You know, the classic, you gotta, Jesus at the very end, you know? but it's a God-honoring community, and I love it. In Psalms 133, it talks about, okay, it's kind of weird, but, like, back in the day, it was probably really cool, but now it's weird, kind of. But it talks about how God, like, delights when brothers or sisters are in unity. It talks about how, like, it's like the fine oil is being dripped over a man's head and down his face and his beard and down his robe. It's kind of creepy. To me, it sounds like a bunch of gibberish. Oils were pretty awesome back then, I guess. So maybe, like, oh, he was showering. He was getting, like, showered by some hundies, you know? It's probably what it's like nowadays. but, yeah. Guys, do we live in a community that honors Jesus? Do you, just think about it. You don't have to yell it out or raise your hand, but do you live in a community that honors Jesus? Or is your community emptying you? Is it just taking the thing that you need? Are you able to love Jesus? Are you able to live out this life that God has called us to in your community? I challenge you this week, think about it. Think about that. Because it's so crucial. When you go back down the mountain, you got to have a community, or it's going to be really hard. You can succeed without a community, honestly. I know, like, it can happen. But it is so hard. For most of us, it's impossible. At least for me. True community, Hebrews 10:24-25. It goes through, I'm not going to read it, but you can definitely write it down, go read it later. I believe that this is a really great example of what true community is supposed to be like. It goes through and it talks about how we should build one another up in Christ, not to neglect each other, to love each other, to do good works, to encourage. And if you think everything in there is, like, life-giving, it all builds. It doesn't, none of it's like, hey, like, get, like, take, I, none of it is take, it's all give, it's all, like, let's build each other up. My favorite thing, fire. Who loves fire? I love fire. I just, like, not here, no fire here, but at home, fire is the best. But I like to think of fire when I think of community. Have you guys ever, like, tried to take a twig and, like, light it on fire? Like, one of these guys kind of lights up pretty cool, but, like, have you ever, like, put a twig and, like, light it on fire, like, done, like, lights up and then, like, kind of dwindles out, right? We are these twigs. We are these little twigs, okay? Us as human beings. I like to say, like, gasoline is the Holy Spirit. You know, when you throw it on, they're just, because all big and cool. But we are twigs. We're not meant to just burn by ourselves. We're going to go out real quick. Boop, boop, done. But when you have a lot, like, if we had, like, a big old pile of these things, we'd probably burn down all of Hume Lake. But you light it up, it's going to be huge. It's going to burn. It's going to be sick. Probably put some logs in there, too, so it burns longer. But, guys, we're meant to live in community because God, like, he works in one, but he works so much brighter and bigger in many. And also, you got to keep adding the sticks. And where's it at? It's not that one. I lost it. There's a scripture in the Bible. I'll find it later if you have a question about it, where it talks about, like, you have to, like, oh, I just read it in here. It says how the Lord added to their number day by day. We're growing. There's more people coming into the community. We're not meant to, like, hey, you know, it's us three. We're chilling. It's just us. We're not exclusive. We're exclusive, so nobody can come. But they're supposed to be add. You're supposed to add people to your community. It brings in more minds to build, more minds to just, like, oh, it's so awesome. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's really cool. You got to continue to add people to your community that love Jesus. You're supposed to bring people in. I have a buddy named Nick who just one day was like, he's like, dude, what's up? Like, you live in a van? I'm like, yeah, dude. He's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, I'm going to church. He's like, what? He's like, I was going to see if you want to go get a drink. I'm like, let's go to church. He came to church. Rad. Like, got to see this guy have some cool transformation. Having, like, the hardest time in his life. But God brought him in. And he added him to the group. And he brings something that nobody else does. Each of you brings a part of a community that nobody else does. Let's see. Okay. So this brings me to Proverbs 15:22. It says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And when I think advisor, I think of king. I think of King Saul, how he had Samuel as an advisor. Samuel was like the bridge between God and the king, you know, really awesome. God spoke to Samuel, super rad. But there was probably more, like the barons, like, there's counsel to a kingdom. Because one man, okay, president of the United States, he can't run it by himself. He's got to have buddies like, hey, like, there's a war happening over here. We should send troops. It's like, oh, yeah, but like, oh, but also over there, there's something. It's like, we have to have counsel to help give us advice, to help support us in our decisions. And do you want to know what that's called in the Christian community? It's called a mentor, which I love. I have a cool mentor. He's really rad. You guys probably know him, Mr. Rich Baker. He's pretty cool. We try and get together. It's kind of hard sometimes. But, guys, it's so crucial. And because usually your mentor is a little bit older, a little bit wiser, knows a little bit more, maybe has a college degree, maybe. I mean, you can have a mentor as your same age, but typically you should probably reach a little bit. Somebody has life experience. But you might be asking, like, man, that would be cool to have a mentor. Well, congratulations. You can have a mentor. And where do you find one of those? Hey, Mr. Counselor, where are you? Or Miss Counselor, can you be my mentor? Like, maybe they'll say yes, maybe they'll say no. Like, you're kind of weird, no. Hopefully they say yes. But I'm sure that these people that came up these mountains with you, sacrificed a week away from work, sacrificed a week away from family to be here with you, like, I'm sure they would love to be more part of your life other than just this week. And I think it's so crucial to have that because I look up to my mentor. I mean, we don't meet as often as I'd like, but, like, I look up to him. I want to live a life of faith like Rich Baker, like the speaker does. Like, I want to live a life of that. And, like, that's where your mentors are. It's somebody to look up to that's living life the right way. Not like, oh, my mentor is Justin Bieber. He loves Jesus, but, like, also he writes all these really nasty songs. Sorry. But, like, so, like, somebody that's doing life right. JB is probably, he's on the right path. Not bashing him. Well, I hope he loves Jesus. I don't know that much. I don't do my research. Having a mentor is just crucial, guys. Like, I encourage you this week, ask. And if your counselor's like, oh, sorry, I have a family and stuff. Like, go to the church. Ask your youth pastor, hey, is there anybody that can mentor me here? I, like, really want one of those. Usually you can find them at youth groups because, I mean, they're there every week. Youth groups are rad. Community is important in every season. In every season. Let's see. I always lose this one. I can never find it. Ecclesiastes 3, I think it's 5. Oh, I might have found it. It's, oh, okay. It says Ecclesiastes 3, 4, and 4. It says, this is like one of my favorites. I wish I could read it all, but there's no time. It says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So what is that? Who likes to dance? I love to dance. It's very great. Community is important in every season. It's important when somebody has a birthday. Yeah, it's so good to celebrate somebody that has a birthday. There's other parts of community. Somebody's grandmother passes away. It's important to be in community then. I love community parties. We like to have cereal parties at our church. I love it. We just get a bunch of cereal and a bunch of milk. We just eat it, and it's great. But it's so crucial. I mean, let's think of Easter. What do we do every Easter? Like, we have a celebration. Maybe, like, the Easter bunny is not really, like, Jesus. But, like, we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a church, as a community, as a family. This is, like, something we're celebrating. We're meant to celebrate. It talks about, like, I mean, there's so much celebration in the Bible. It's kind of cool. Like, the prodigal son, if you ever read that, it's a cool story. Go read it. It's really rad about, like, a son that takes his fortune and goes away and wastes it and lives in the world, but comes back with nothing. And the father's like, yes, like, let's have a celebration. Kill the fattened calf and get all the drinks up and let's party. Let's dance, you know? And it's so cool. There's so much celebration in the Bible because we're meant to celebrate as a community. But mourning is so, so, so important. We have a buddy in our group. He has cancer. Or he had cancer, praise the Lord. But in the season of he had cancer, he was broken. He was confused. He was angry. He was like, I don't know. But we were able to come alongside him and pray for him and love him and give him encouragement and do what we could. Like, we couldn't do much. This guy's like, he's dying. Like, what can I do much for him but pray and love him? He was healed. Like, a couple of weeks after, like, I only knew him for a little bit, and then he was healed. Like, yes! Like, oh, God, it's so good. He, like, you totally used my prayer to heal him. Like, this is so good. Probably not. But, it's so important to be a part of a community, even in the mourning seasons. Because, like, I mean, if you're just there for the parties, like, you're just kind of a moocher. But it's not something you just, like, okay, I have to be here for this guy because he's sad. It's something in your heart that has to switch. It has to be, I want to be here for this man because he needs it, because I know that he needs to hear from the Lord now, and I love him. Like my buddy Doug, he goes through hard times. I love being there for him. I love being able to say, like, he's so confused. I'm like, dude, Jesus is the only way. And every time he's like, no, it's not. Eventually he's going to be like, yes, it is, and it's going to be great. It's going to be really rad. I'm going to trust God with that one. But it's so important. And there's songs of, like, sadness and cries out. And it's okay. It's okay to be vulnerable. Go ahead. Ask for help. It's okay. That's why we're here. We're here to support each other. And all throughout the scripture, as you read, you will find just the scripture is just dripping with community. Like, everywhere you look, the disciples were always together. They were always together. Like, hey, let's all go preach over here. Let's get in this boat. And like, oh, dang, there's Jesus on the water. What? That's crazy. And like, but they all went through life together. They had these experiences together. Some of them took them differently than others. One of them stepped out of a boat to go get Jesus. Others sat in the boat, scared out of their mind, like, oh my God, like, he's gonna die, you know? Like, we all take things. We all learn things at different paces. We're different. You're all different. You all add to a community. And I'll quicken this up for you guys. It's, I think, the most important thing about community that I hope this is, like, if you get anything out of this talk, this is what you get, is that Jesus has to be the center of that community. There is no other way. If you're, I mean, you can have a cool community, but it's going to drag you along. You're going to be tired. You're not going to be filled. You're going to be emptied. Guys, it has to be centered around Jesus. John 15:5, if I can find it again. Whoop, lost it. Whoop, ripped it. I lost it. Oh, got it. John 15:5, one of the really coolest verses in the world. It says, if I can find it, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the bearer of much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You guys catch that? Apart from me, you can do nothing. A community that does not have Jesus in the center of it can do nothing. They will not bear fruit. And so that is my message for the day. But the question that I hope you leave is, do you have that community? Seek the Lord this week. Ask him, where's that community? If I don't have it, seek it out. Find it. Ask your youth pastor. Ask your counselor, where is this community? Where can I find it? It's there, guys. It's ready. It's available. Just ask, and it'll be found. And also, if you are living in a community that doesn't honor Jesus, guys, think about it. Is this the best place for you to be in your life? You guys are growing into the people you're meant to be. I'm still growing in the person I'm meant to be. Do you want to be like everybody else that's consumed by the world? Or do you want to be encouraged by family, by friends, by a community, by a church that loves Jesus? That's where Jesus is. He's in the church. So go there. That's got to go, guys. So important. But let me pray. And I'm going to stand here for a few minutes, answer questions if you have them. Everybody can go get snack or whatever. We're going to go worship after this. That's what we're doing. We're going to go worship the Lord. Woo, in community. We're meant to worship in community. It's so good. But let me pray. Father God, I thank you again for this gorgeous day. We're so blessed to be alive, God. Thank you for waking us up and having food for us to eat, God. And just giving us this beautiful spot, Lord. We just sit in the middle of your nature, in the middle of your glory, and hear your word. God, I ask that you would challenge each and every one of these campers this week, and counselors. Father, that they would just take an assessment of their life, an assessment of their community. God, and they would see, man, is my community really life-building? Or is it tearing me apart? And God, if it is, I ask that you would give them the courage to reach out, God, to ask questions, to find a community that does build them up, that does love you, God, that is centered around you and wants to serve you with their lives. So God, I ask that you bless the rest of this week. You bless our quiet times with you, we'd make that a priority in our day, and that we would have an epic week at Hume Lake. In Jesus' name, amen.